Fucking Cam.
Who?
I don't know. Some guy. Some jerk. Jerk Facebook. Jerk face.
He's been on the podcast before. Once.
Who has time to listen to podcasts?
Alex.
Hello.
I'm tired.
I am also tired.
It was fun.
Was it?
It was.
I'm tired, but for unrelated reasons.
Yeah.
Shut up, Ash. You went there. You don't know. You don't understand. You went in the trenches, man.
No. I was there. I had popcorn.
I wish I had popcorn.
We did a live show. It was great.
We did a live show last night.
It was great.
So why was it on a Wednesday? What's the deal with this? I thought it was Fridays.
It was Fridays. Now it's Wednesdays.
Oh. All right, then.
That's it.
Cool.
There was some competition on Fridays, and there's not competition on Wednesdays. So
yeah. That's, yeah, okay.
There was like one very good reason to move it right there.
I can see a cinema being busier for various reasons.
Also, other game-related events are happening just around the corner at different establishments.
Right, yeah, okay.
Mainly that was, I think, a big reason.
It was a good reason. It was a good
reason. Might not have been a big reason. It was a good reason.
Welcome back to the BetaCast.
Thank you.
Alex.
Thank you.
Ashley O'Brien.
Hey, Ben.
D.
Yay.
We're back. No Cam today. Cam.
Because Cam.
How's it going, Alex?
I'm tired. I have not played. I'm racking my brain to figure out what video games I've been playing.
That's okay.
No.
We didn't talk about video games on this podcast. We
nearly
about?
Fell asleep at my desk today. It was pretty good, actually.
It's only a Thursday.
It's only Thursday. But you know what? That means tomorrow's Friday. Yeah. Friday is always a good time.
For what?
Friday, I've got an excuse to not do any work. That's Friday.
Yeah. So what's your excuse
today? Nothing getting done today.
What's your excuse today?
What's my excuse today?
Tomorrow's Friday.
Fucking tired.
Yeah.
Also, I did a bit of what I did. I did a fair amount of. I was explaining to you before what I did. I won't bore everyone with what I did, but
that was
like,
pretty boring.
There was like some server configuration going on. Like, it's a different podcast. We'll have that conversation later.
I'm bored already.
I know.
You didn't even tell me what was happening. I was bored.
Know. See?
So if you had Matt here, you guys could just talk forever about this type of thing.
Yeah, but even Matt would be bored by this.
Yeah,
he's just bored in a different way. He's bored in a. Yeah, I kind of know stuff about that, but I don't really care why.
Sure.
So what games have you been playing?
I played Fix My Computer Simulator. Ooh, real
how
real
was
life.
That? How
didn't
was
you
that
play
in?
Didn't you play this last week?
I played this last week. I finished it this
okay.
week.
Okay.
So this was 100%. The second one?
This what?
This was the second one?
Second one.
The sequel to Fix Your Computer?
No, this is it was an ongoing.
Okay.
I've been playing this game for about the last month.
So it was like Fix Your Computer 1.5.
Sure.
Okay.
But 2015.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It was a re-release.
Fix My Computer 2015.
Cool.
Just blue screens out the ass last time.
Shouldn't have them out the ass.
I know. At this point, though, it's basically a new computer with my old SSD, my old Blu-ray drive, and my old hard drive in it. I got a pretty sweet computer now. It plays Fallout 4 at Ultra. Like, there's nothing more satisfying than putting Fallout 4, and it goes like, we're going to detect your settings, Ultra. And I'm like, that's right. Cool. Let's play Fallout. So Fallout.
You don't Fallout. Find that a little disappointing? I usually find it a little disappointing when I'm building a computer and I'm like, oh, there's actually nothing to challenge this now.
No, because I know that I bought my graphics card as a stopgap because I'd like knowing about allegedly super powerful stuff that's coming out next year. I'm like, all right, I buy this now. This goes in my girlfriend's computer next year. I buy whatever the fancy new thing is next
you know,
year.
You have out. Given me pause because I was talking to you about this last week.
That's true.
And I'm like, because I was just ramping up to maybe I should get a new video card. Now yeah. I'm like maybe I should wait.
The problem is that is the thing with every single piece of your computer.
I know
is you will and nonstop.
Do you do the thing like I'll buy my computer and I'll upgrade later?
Yeah,
and then you never do.
Yeah, I spec'd out originally when I built that computer in 2011. I spec'd it out with enough power to like SLI some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Never bought a second video card until my first video card died.
Yep.
So like
pretty much the same.
Yeah, I learned that lesson with my last motherboard.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
You buy everything up front, and then you keep it for 4 years, then upgrade.
So mine's right on the four-year mark right now. So
yeah. I actually did have an upgrade. Matt upgraded his video card, and I managed to get a partial upgrade with that.
You got
it's doing pretty well.
Halfway.
Half step.
Yeah. But it's getting to its like it's 4 years now. So
yeah, I thought 4 years was okay, but you know what?
4 years is fantastic. Remember, like 5-6 years ago, it was 2 years. That's pretty much all you could get out of it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I built that computer to play Portal 2 on the day that Portal 2 came out.
Okay.
Wow.
So that was when I put that computer together. That was brand new from scratch. So that was, yeah. Now I have a 960 in there, GTX 960, mm-hmm. Nice. Which, yeah, everything's nice. So I'm happy. Fallout 4 has happened.
Good.
I freaked out when I put my name in. I put in, my name is Alex, and I walked around the corner and the robot was like, "Hello, Miss Alex." And I'm like, "Oh, shit." That motherfucker just said my name.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, all right. I have heard if you put your name as fuckface, it will say that.
So there is a list of 840, 940 names that I've been perusing off and on as people start to play this game and are like, thinking of who my friends are and who's playing this game. And like, Cameron's not on the list.
Guess what? My character's called Laura.
And Laura's not on the list?
Not on the list.
My girlfriend.
Was it?
Yeah.
You know what is on the list?
Did he say it?
Yeah.
No, he could just call me Madam.
No, they said Laura at the beginning.
Did they?
I definitely remember hearing that.
I was not paying attention. Apparently it is
on the list.
Guess I was what? Just wondering, like, am I supposed to hear a name at some point? Like,
Ash is totally on the list.
Is it? Nice.
Nice. Yeah, so like, Cameron's not on the list. My girlfriend Rebecca, Beck, is not on the list. Stanley is not on the list. I have a friend who's probably going to play. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's missing off that list. I have a friend, Jesse. Boy Jesse. So Jesse, but you can only, if you... That's not there, but if you put in Jesse with an IE, that'll work.
They should have put some pseudonyms, because, you know, it sounds the same. So the
yeah, well, right?
If you spell at least seven ways, it's going to say it this way.
You would hope that.
That was the way I would have done it.
No, I wanted to record a separate one for every single one.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Jesse.
Tone. is it just Codsworth that can call you by name, or do we know if there's any other NPCs?
I assumed it was only Codsworth, but again.
I mean, what a waste.
I mean, they realistically, they should have just picked a name, just one name, and if you enter that, every character in the game will say your name.
By the way, around seeing one player's character say 800 names. You have 800 characters say one name.
Yep.
And then to this one lucky player whose name is Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Because what the fuck?
Well, it's Shepherd.
And make it like a really uncommon name as well. Like,
yeah, actually, that would be a good like stealth joke that they're just like, who else see, like, he said my name. Did he say your name? Like, nah. Like,
but it's only the first playthrough.
Yeah.
Until you stop playing and save it, and then others know after that. So if you can't show anyone.
Yeah. I'm feeling the Bethesda RPG in that game. So, you know, I'm wandering around just finding shit.
It's great.
Quests and stuff.
They've done some pretty cool little playing around with props to tell little stories without telling stories.
Totally. I found, like, I took a screenshot of I found a teddy bear trapped underneath a garbage can.
Wearing handcuffs?
Yes, wearing handcuffs.
I found the same thing.
What?
I was like,
that's adorable. And then I saw another screenshot of a bear on a toilet holding a newspaper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's great. This is all good.
They had a lot of fun with that game.
I was concerned that I would be annoyed at how little those games have changed since.
It's exactly what I wanted.
It's not exactly what I wanted, but it is exceeding my expectations, so I'm happy with it.
Can we bitch about it now?
I can.
Sure. Yeah.
That game tells you nothing how to play it.
Yeah. So we were just talking about this. I got home today and my girlfriend had started playing it, and I'm telling her how to do all these things. I'm like, wait a minute, the game doesn't tell you how to do any of this. I know this because I played Fallout 3 in New Vegas, and I know that power armor is important.
Like, yeah, like VATS.
Yeah. And
it tells you VATS exists.
It goes, by the way, this is the button for VATS.
And you're like, what?
You're like, all right.
The worst part is most of this stuff can be fixed with like a single throwaway line. If they put in there, like, think of power armor like a car, and it'd be like, oh, okay, cool. That makes sense, because it's like, you're not supposed to use it all the time. You're just supposed to use it when you've got something heavy to carry back or something hard to do.
When some shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And fair enough, I haven't used my power armor since I got
it. Same.
Yeah.
Some people are posting some pretty cool screenshots of their power armors.
Like that 25 grid, that dude that's got 25 sets of power armor now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw a guy and he built this massive construction to house them all.
I saw a guy with a jetpack power armor.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's cool.
There's some awesome stuff.
Yeah, people were asking me if there's vehicles in that game, and I'm like, no, this is the apocalypse.
Yeah.
There's no vehicles in the apocalypse.
But there's plenty of vehicles. Just none of them work.
Yeah, well.
Well, but they're all got nuclear engines. So,
yeah.
So they should work.
What I find amusing is there's still, like, radios underground that still work because they've got nuclear batteries in them.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
All that conceit. You find that Pip-Boy, it just works straight away.
Which is really, really handy hand wave. Yeah, it's just
don't worry fusion. About it. Don't fusion worry. Reactor. Apple made everything. It just works.
Yeah.
In this
cars are pretty rad in that game. Like, that could totally work.
They've got some pretty cool looking cars in that game.
Yeah, I really like the aesthetic.
The train yard you get to, and you see the the train. Looks amazing.
I went down some train tracks, but I didn't see no train yet. I'll get there.
You'll get there. That's don't good. Worry about it. It's really good design, that game.
I'm about 6 hours in.
I'm good. Only about three. Mm-hmm. But the base construction, what? No idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, I basically went to the biggest prefab structure I could find and went, yeah, that'll do. It's actually like pretty much a house.
Yep.
So I just plop that down, throw a bed, a rug, a desk in there, thing to hold all my shit, and cool, done. Throw a doghouse outside and turn that first little gas station into my little home.
Yeah, all I did was I walked around the gas station and scrapped everything I didn't need.
Question, did you go to Sanctuary? Did you follow that mission up?
Like after you meet the Minutemen?
Yeah.
Because
they do have like a minor tutorial type thing.
Very minor one.
Yeah. It got to like, hey, make a farm. And I'm like, I have one ingredient to make a farm with. So I'm going to put that down and finish this quest later.
They should have just gone, here's a whole bunch of ingredients.
Yeah.
Build A, B, and C, and D to finish the mission.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
And I don't quite understand the assigning people to certain things yet, so...
Yeah, it's basically, like, if there's food, you need to assign people to the food.
Yeah.
And they can harvest that food and any food adjacent to that food.
Jesus Christ.
If there's a defense tower, you've got to assign a person to the defense tower, otherwise it won't increase the defense of the fort.
Yeah.
I
haven't got up to, like, fort defense or anything.
Yeah,
like
neither have I. I've looked at it, and I put some lights up.
Yep.
And I was like, they don't work. Oh, there's a generator here.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't build a generator yet.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
But I like the idea because, like, there's not a lot of places in that game, in the Fallout series, that have power. The fact that you could just go around plopping down generators, I'm like, that's an interesting idea. How does that change things?
And the other thing was that I didn't know about until I listened to another podcast. You can remove mods from your weapons.
Yeah.
And I've been scrapping all the mods.
Scrapping your guns with the mods attached?
That is not explained at all. I had some other person tell me about
you
this.
You have to build a non-attachment and it will deattach.
So
it's stupid.
You have to go and say build nothing and then it goes add this thing to your inventory. And it's like, wait.
Well, you like to add nothing to your weapon? Oh, there's already something here. I'll replace this something with a nothing.
This sounds like the kind of thing that would be...
Exactly. So there's something then goes to your inventory for you to attach later. Doesn't explain this.
That'd be great if someone could just make a mod that fixes that.
So I did find one super useful mod already. I haven't installed it yet.
Is it the one that replaces mini nukes with your baby?
No. Not... Okay. No, it is one mod that I found that they replaced the speech system. Instead of having like, yes, no, sarcastic, tell me more, it just replaces it with the line that you're going to say.
Okay.
And with 1, 2, 3, 4 in a straight column like it was in the old Fallout 3 in New Vegas.
I don't mind that because it's very much Mass Effect-y.
I don't mind it so much, but it's sometimes I still, like, I immediately got caught off by something that I didn't mean to say.
I've had, like, two conversations in the entire time I've played this game so far, so
I don't care right now.
I'm sure I will at some point.
It doesn't super bother me, but I think I want to install that mod because I want to know what I'm going to say. I want to know how much of an arsehole I'm going to be to these people, so...
And searching things. I keep pressing the B button to stop searching.
Yeah.
Which doesn't...
To back out of the search menu.
Yeah, but the search menu is what you look at. You just got to look away. So I keep looking at my Pip-Boy every time I stop looking, want to search something, which is freaking Fallout 3.
Yep. I'm all the way there. So are you playing on PC or are you playing on...
PS4.
And
running perfectly fine now. Yep. I haven't got to any of the places, the half of the places that run like ass.
Found one place that does run terribly. And I was like, maybe this interior is just kind of bad on my computer. Maybe this is why... Maybe Ultra is fine most of the time, but maybe in here I need to step it down a bit. But I also did some research, and it turns out there are a couple of interior places very specifically that make the frame rate tank, and no one can figure out why.
Yeah, it sounds like there was just a half dozen...
I think I'm just less sensitive to frame rate issues to most people, because I've totally gone through that... Is it the Cordova factory thing?
Yeah, that's one of the ones.
But that was saying it was dropping near 10 frames a second. That's what people saying on consoles.
I have not seen it go that low. Like, I've definitely seen it drop a little bit. Like, I don't know. I think I'm less sensitive to a lot of people.
What are you playing on, Ash?
PS4.
PS4 as well, yeah.
Because the PS4 apparently was the ones that get hit by the frame rate the most.
Maybe the difference between 30 and 20 isn't much, but when the difference is between 60 and 30... It's a bit more noticeable.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. As I said, I've definitely noticed, like, that's lower, but it's not bothering me.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I certainly
haven't got to the point where I felt like I can't play this game because it's so low.
No, of course
not. Like some people are describing.
Yeah, and like I said, like once I found out it was kind of those, it was like a couple of very specific areas that are kind of bad, I was like, oh, all right, well, that's fine. I can live with that.
No,
that'll probably be fixed, or someone will do like, there'll probably be a community patch, like there has been for every other Bethesda game.
Something like this, because it's so, there's nothing obvious that's causing it. They'll figure it out from the back end and put a patch out. Shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah. Also, like, Bethesda should be better about making video games.
Nah, I like the jank.
Yeah, no, I like I like the jank. No. I love stupid shit.
I was going to say.
Stupid shit's fine.
Yeah.
But kind of within reason.
No, I want no reason. I want no reason. I want this shit to be fucked up. Yeah. Like,
it's Bethesda. It's the charm of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the time that I was playing Oblivion, I think it was Oblivion, and the guy's body froze, but when I worked up to talk to him, his head just twisted around 180 degrees and stretched his neck towards me. It was fucking great.
I mean, that's pretty great. Like, when it breaks in a super bad way, that's great. But, oh, that's right. The one time it did break for me already was the very first minute. I just got the power armor. I killed a dude, and, like, I guess his gun fell through the world. Because it just kept colliding with something every tick of the game.
Yep, that's a classic Bethesda bug.
That sound of just sound the whole, like, the ages. I'm just like, well, now I can never go back to Concord, so... Fuck.
Done there.
Done now. Yeah. So...
That's fucking great.
I want to go play more of that. So
that's all right. That's...
I'm looking forward to, like, the upcoming Christmas break where they kick me out of my office for... You know, a week.
Yep.
They like, everyone has to take leave. Get out of the office. There's no reason for you to be here.
I've got to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking forward to just not showering and spending 12 hours.
Dee's got to work because she's got a real job that requires. Yeah. Because apparently pets don't take holidays.
So I played most of Fallout 3 over the Christmas break, 2010, I think. I want to say 5 years ago.
How is Fallout 3? Just go jumping back to Fallout 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to finish that game or are you...
Yeah, I'm nearly finished it. Well, I'm nearly finished the main story.
Yep.
I assume, because I found my dad and he's gone to Rivet City and I said, okay, I'll meet you there. So I figure I'm near the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of don't want it to end. There's too much still to do.
I mean, like, once you finish the story, like, who cares? You just go back out there and do some more shit. And I'm assuming you have all the DLC, so... You don't have the DLC?
I got DLC on the PC, not on the PlayStation 3.
You need to probably just go and spend the money.
There's probably like $20 I can get all of them or something.
Yeah, you probably get all of them.
But I also kind of want to start playing 4.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I mean, like, there is one DLC.
I know how my world works. I'm scared of change.
Yeah, there's one DLC where, you know, that fixes the ending in that game. So
I don't know the ending yet, so don't spoil it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we've talked about this before, and that we'll wait to see what these... Because these playing with all the post-patches.
Oh, okay, great.
So I don't know sure if they've...
Anything's changed.
Well, there's just had very few crashes or bugs.
My last game ended with a crash.
Did it?
That's why I stopped playing.
Yep.
Yeah, I got stuck on a wall or something. Nice. Just attacking me.
That's how you know you're supposed to stop playing. It's like, well, I guess I'm done for the night. Like, that's when I stopped playing Fallout. Was like, I was looking for somewhere to sleep.
Yep.
And I just got blown up, and I'm like, I guess I'm done for now then.
I did find, from the starting area, I started to walk off the side of the map to see how it stopped me.
Sure, just go.
And it goes, oh, you can't go this direction. I'm like,
well, don't you?
That's pretty dumb. So I was just wandering around off the map, and I found a little outhouse area.
Sure.
And I went down, explored it, picked a few hard locks.
Yeah.
Went to the inside, found a locked box, opened the box. Nothing in it.
Nothing. You save scum the locks, so you don't break all your bobbins.
No, I don't do that.
Oh, okay.
It's just like you passed this. You put this out here with nothing in it.
Yeah,
just to piss me off.
You piece of shit. Bethesda.
It kind of annoys me that all the bobby pins are gold now,
as opposed to
black.
They were black before,
in the last one.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why. It just annoys me.
Next gen production values. You got to get bobby pin shaders and textures. And 4K textures on the bobby pins.
You can color bottles. Got little rockets now.
Yeah.
That just seems in
high resolution.
Okay.
next generation Nuka-Cola. Don't worry about it.
Different flavors Nuka-Cola.
I can't believe you noticed any of this shit. Like, I can't believe you noticed any of this.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't make sense in the timeline, because they didn't make any more. So how come there's suddenly new flavors?
Maybe it's just different
areas? No, it's a different area of America.
Yeah. Because it's in Massachusetts.
If you play Vegas instead of... There is still Nuka-Cola, but the main thing is the sarsaparilla.
That's right,
It's a different brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you get the sarsaparilla with the stars on the inside of the caps.
Sure.
And you have to go to the factory and they trade them for prizes.
Yeah,
New Vegas. And I'm trying to creep your puppet.
It's kind of like how McDonald's in different countries have different burgers, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in Italy or whatever, they sell pizza and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I got really excited because I found half the pieces for Giddy Up Buttercup. I was wondering. Okay. And I was hoping you could actually put one together.
In Flight 4 or New Vegas?
Flight 4.
Okay.
So, there's two of them in that starting garage.
Okay.
You get the head and the body.
Yep.
And if you go under the place, you get one of the legs. I've got a little pile of them. I'm going to try and get all the different pieces.
Okay.
You probably can't assemble it, but I'm going to have all the pieces of a Giddy Up Buttercup. Just because I can.
Just because you can. Just probably like an achievement, or like someone will probably... You'll probably find someone who's like, hey, do you have all the pieces? Yeah, all right, here's some caps. And you're like, oh, okay.
I wanted a toy.
I'm finding a few overdue books. So I'm collecting them because I'm assuming they go somewhere.
Some which books?
Overdue books.
Overdue books. Yeah. All right, so
I'm assuming there's a library somewhere.
Yeah. And you'd be like, hey, I found these books.
And three, there was a library that gave you a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My memory of three is a blur. I was just about to say, I played that game over the course of 3 days, about 8 to 12 hours per day.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I
thrashed that. And then didn't play it again until all the DLC was out, bought all the DLC, played through all of that. Yeah, over the course of a couple of weeks.
So, are you doing something similar with fall?
Well, that's what I'm waiting for the Christmas break to come up. Okay. So, I'm going to have some time off where my partner's not going to have the time off. So, stay at home.
She has a real job too, does she?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. So, I'm going to sit at home and not shower and get real filthy and play Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Amongst other things, because there are still video games coming out.
Yeah.
That I don't have enough money because I built that PC. I don't have enough money to buy them. So that sucks. But I have been playing Mario Maker.
Mm-hmm.
I finally unlocked everything in Mario Maker, which means that my first level is nearly done. I'm nearly ready to upload a level of Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Not that anyone else can play it, because I don't know anyone else that has the game.
Do you hit? They've finally released the system, so you can actually follow doing and search and through a web browser.
It's not out yet. It's coming in December, but it's like a web browser and mobile version where you can
something sort like that.
Things. I'm like, that sounds great.
Wow, look, Nintendo's doing stuff that's logical.
Just tweet a URL to my Mario Maker level and people could play it. It'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Speaking of having no money, I also bought an Apple TV. Apple made a new Apple TV.
It plays games.
It plays games. I played Crossy Road on a TV. I played multiplayer Crossy Road, in fact.
How's that work?
Co-op Crossy Road. So one person plays on their phone. They don't have to look at their phone. Just use that as a controller, basically, because all you got to do is swipe left, right, and tap.
Yeah.
And then, it's like tag out co-op, but it gives you, individual scores as well, which is nice. And so, one person gets knocked out, then the other person just has to keep going until they find them, and then tag them back in, and then they're both playing again.
Mm.
So, that's just a neat little twist on Crossy Road. I would have liked to have seen more players than two, but...
Because we were talking about hopefully trying to do it on the big screen.
Yeah. I something. Think that would be super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But, yeah.
The app store on that thing is just like the app store of, 5 years ago, 5-10 years ago when the iOS app store came out for iPhones.
And so it was a bunch of hot trash.
Yeah. Like, people just charging for shit because of the only game in town right now. So, if you want a fireplace screensaver for your TV, it's $4.50.
Oh, can I totally pay money for, a shitty version of Darts?
Yeah, you can pay so much money for just about anything.
What about a Korean app that just shows you pictures of girls?
This isn't the Play Store from 5 years ago.
That's the best thing of the Play. I remember the Play Store was so bad, I used a website called Cricket.
What?
Because there was no good search functions or sorting functions.
Yeah, it was terrible.
This website called Cricket would actually sort it for you, so you could find the good stuff. Because you just go into the Play Store and all you'd find is Korean versions of apps that would show you pictures of girls.
That's
with
weird.
Really, really terrible translations their app description was.
Well, I mean, the sad thing is you can't browse the Apple TV app store unless you have the Apple TV. Like, I can't go to iTunes and say, push this app to my TV.
That's pretty stupid.
It's kind of dumb, but I said that at work today and people were like, they'll add it eventually. I'm like, I don't know. Apple's been making some questionable decisions lately, but hey, we're not an Apple podcast. We're a video games podcast. That thing plays video games.
But this podcast is being being syndicated through iTunes.
So listen to the podcast. You know what? They don't have the podcast app. The old Apple TV has the podcast app on it by default. They don't have the app on the new one
yet. That's bullshit.
Which is insane.
Do you know what's bullshit?
Go on.
Google Play has released their podcast system, only available in the US.
I mean, like, there are all sorts of regional restrictions on podcasts that it's, you can't just go releasing podcasts wherever you, I mean.
Yeah, I know, because totally all this hot Australia exclusive information we're saying, we can't. It's bullshit. Like, I just went there and said, sorry, this is only available. And like, I can't.
That's crazy.
This podcast.
Yeah.
On a service.
Yep. Podcast. Here's an RSS feed. Like,
that's all it is.
It's not an AU RSS feed. Like, it's not in a, like, UK English. You can pass that, you know.
I was debating just going through a proxy and just adding it that way.
Yeah. If you want to get into the ground level, it's like a cheeky thing to do to get up there.
I just don't know of any good proxies that don't record the details as you put them in or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyway.
Podcasts.
Podcasts, are, yeah. Well,
who listens to podcasts anymore?
I don't know.
No one.
I don't know.
No one.
Yeah. I do. Quite a few, actually, still.
I spend about 6 hours on my bike a week. I've got to listen to something.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is going on? That's me.
That's you?
That's my story.
Nothing else?
Yeah, my name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive.
Really?
No, not really. You don't
look very fast.
That's not your name.
Not right now. Let me look at my list. No, that's everything.
That's all the things you did. Everything, that's all the things I did.
But you've been playing Cat Collector.
Yeah, I played Cat Collector.
I'm going to have nothing left to talk about.
Yeah, like...
D, what are you been playing?
I'm playing Fallout 3 and Cat Collector.
Great, what else is going on, Ben? No.
How's Cat Collector going?
It's going good. It was annoying because I wasn't getting any new cats. So then I looked up how to get the new cats and it was exactly the way you think it is.
You get stuff.
And yeah, you buy the thing they want and then they go to the thing.
And you wait.
You wait. Yeah,
yeah, I saw my first unique cat.
Yeah.
He's in my cat book, but I haven't seen him yet in the flesh. So.
I've got a couple like that and I've got a couple that I actually got pictures of now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's lots of them and you have to buy lots of things.
Yeah. You should, if you buy some, like, spend some real money on some goldfish, though.
No.
Yeah, like, no, but what if you did, though? No, yeah, like, yeah, but no. How much quicker could you finish the game and have all the cats?
But can you finish this game? Is this game finishable?
Well...
Because there's no end state. It's just...
They said that getting the cats is the end game.
Yeah, you could, like, complete the cat book, like, 100%.
The site I looked at didn't mention there's any reward for getting them all. I think you just...
It's like Pokemon. It's the personal satisfaction of having 151 Pokemon.
And then they're going to release 200 more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right.
Well, there will be a Cat Collector 2.
Yeah, when Cat Collector 2
comes. All new cats.
All new cats.
Pick a starter.
Yeah.
And travel to the different regions. Yeah, collect all the cats.
And live Cat Collector. We watched.
Yeah, I accidentally stumbled across this live Cat Collector stream where someone has made a room up with the exact items from the Cat Collector game. And
the game we're talking about, by the way, is Nekotsume.
Yeah, Nekotsume. Which
translates to Cat Collector.
Cat Collector.
Yep.
Yeah, so people have made a room with very, very accurate replica props from the game. Which, like, to be fair, they're real things. I have one of the toys in the game at home for my cats. Mm. So someone has set a room up with a bunch of cats and they streamed it in September for 11 hours.
Yep.
It was uploaded by Google Play Japan.
So it was probably some promotional
thing they did.
It was amazing. It was like, this is in a world where we don't use screensavers anymore.
Yeah.
Just play something like that.
It's kind of the perfect screensaver. Like if you turn the sound off because it's just the loop from the game.
Yeah, horrible music. Yeah.
It's fine the first three iterations and then you're just like, oh, I just want to die.
The cats were adorable.
Yeah, just a screensaver where it's just a video of live feed of cats.
And like they had like sweet up close shots of like kitty cat feet stretching while the cats are asleep and you're just like, oh, I want to go to sleep.
It's a good kind of marketing. You should just set up cameras in the rescue part of the shelter place of the vet place you work and then get someone to write an app to make screensavers for people's phones that all does is stream the kittens in.
I mean, that's one of the apps available for the Apple TV. I downloaded an app that was like, hey, stream some webcams in, and it just picks webcams from around the world and streams them in for you. So like you could do it.
And then you can just kind of, like, people would come in and go, I want that kitty I saw on my computer screen.
Yeah. We're giving away all the good ideas here.
It is.
Copyright
that. I'm trying to figure out how that would work in my head.
Do it.
Yeah.
You register on a website.
I think I should just bring cats home and put them all in a room together and film that.
I mean, I have no problem with that, Ben. Like, here.
200 channels and nothing.
We do foster kittens often, and so yeah. We'd have like, here's 5 kittens, go.
Yeah,
and you're like, ah, put a webcam. They're cute.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. Until they're not.
Until no, then we give them back, get some more. It's great.
Until you smush their face into their food when they finally start eating solids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And then all the hair comes off their noses because it's full of food.
Yeah.
And then they look weird.
Oh, kittens.
Oh, I don't miss it. But I do miss it.
Anything else?
Also.
No. Yeah. I told you that's it.
That's it?
Fallout 3.
Well, because we've got so much more content from PAX, I'm going to have a mini break here. We're going to get some interviews in, and you're going to listen to them and enjoy them. It's going to be amazing. And you can come right back and listen to what Ash has been playing.
That's insane. PAX was like 6 months ago.
I know.
What are you doing?
Here, listen to this. Hey guys, Ben here. I'm here with Liam from... Name of the company?
Bramble Lash.
Oh,
and from Byte Sprite is Bramble, the company, yeah.
The game Bramble Lash. Yep. How's it going?
Yeah, fantastic. How are you going?
Good. How's PAX treating you so far?
It's been really good. This is our first PAX we're presenting at.
Yep.
It's been a crazy experience. But yeah, it's been really fun.
Cool. Where are you guys from?
So we're from Perth in WA.
Nice. So tell us about Bramble Lash. What's this game?
So Bramble Lash is a co-op multiplayer game where you have to tether together... communicate and cooperate to win, or you can swap teams and betray each other, depending on who you're playing with and how they like to play.
Brilliant. So at the moment, I'm seeing 4 players. Is it designed mainly for 4 players, or is it...
It's designed for up to 4 players. You can play with 2, and we're working in a 1-player and a 3-player mode at the moment as well.
Okay, so for the listeners at home, you touch one of your buddies,
yep.
And you have a thorny branch appears between them.
That's right, yeah.
And then you maneuver that branch to run over the enemies with.
Yep, exactly right.
Yep.
So it's a basic mechanic at its heart. It's a mechanic that I've seen explored a little bit in other games, but we thought it was worthwhile sort of structuring a whole game around it and exploring the idea.
Nice. So how long have you been working on this for?
We've been working on it part-time for a year. So mm-hmm. We work on this part-time and we work on serious and educational games part-time.
Nice. How many in the team?
Just the 2 of us at the moment.
Okay.
The audio was done by some friends, some contract work.
And what do you do?
So we sort of share the tasks between each other.
Okay.
Lately, I've been doing more of the lead programming and design.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're very sort of democratic design in what we do. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's not the way to do it. It's just yelling at each other and complaining.
I know.
Yeah, you're both on the same path, then you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when do we expect a release of this game?
So we're looking to release this in March, April.
Okay.
We got greenlit recently on Steam,
nice.
Which is really
congratulations.
Cool. Thank you. So this will be on PC, Mac, and Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also looking at the moment on getting it on console, so hopefully we should see it on
those. Have you thought of, say, perhaps an iPad where you have hold 2 fingers down to get things?
I have thought about it. We've tested a few ideas, and they haven't worked so well with touch. We've got some things we'd like to test further, but at this stage, I couldn't say anything for sure.
Brilliant. Yeah. So where can people go to find out more about this game?
So you can go to bramblelash.com,
yep.
Or you can check us out on Twitter, at Bytesprite Games. We've also got a Facebook page. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much.
Cool, thank you so much.
Hey guys, Ash here. I'm here with Patrick from SMG Studios, and we're looking at Death Squared. Hey Patrick, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So,
tired.
What is Death Squared?
Death Squared is a cooperative game about standing on your circle without killing your friends.
So I played a little bit a minute ago. So as you move around, you have a block that's coloured your colour that will push the other player.
That's one of the mechanics that can come up. There's about 6 or 7 different things that can inadvertently kill people accidentally.
Yes, I noticed there's a lot of things that inadvertently kill people. What's the concept for this game? Where did this come from?
Well, the concept started at a jam where the theme was, what do we do next? And I had a slightly different idea initially. And it sort of grew into this abstract thing where you were just sort of constantly thrown into a situation where everything's a trap and you just need to identify the mechanics and learn how to survive together via really good communication and kind of mechanical deciphering of what's going on.
Cool. And how many people have you got in your team?
The team on Desk Red will be 2 to 3 people, most likely. We're quite a small studio. There's only about sort of 5-ish people, and we've got a couple of things going concurrently. So we'll probably keep the team size on this one really small, and hopefully we'll be done. We're thinking maybe mid-2016. Can be hard to kind of estimate a release date, but that's our goal currently.
Cool. So you've asked 4 of us to come here today. What's in store for 4 players?
There's no 4-player sessions on the TV at the moment, but if you played the 2-player version, just imagine multiplying that chaos by 2 more people.
It sounds terrible.
Yes.
And great.
It's pretty terrible.
How long have you been working? So this was from last year's Game Jam, right? This was 2015.
From this year, yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say that was this year's theme. So
yeah.
So wow, it's come a long way. It hasn't been that long. It's only end of January. So.
Well, yeah. So that's where the prototype started, and then because we do sort of a few things at once, we had some other projects to take care of between now and then, and we've been going full time on this one for maybe 3 months so far.
It's quite a short time, and it. Yeah, it looks pretty good for something that's only been that long.
Thank you.
Any plans for release?
So the release plan is mid-2016. Steam is a definite, and we're hoping to hit both PS4 and Xbox One as well if everything goes according to plan.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing a little bit more of it then.
Thank you very much.
Guys, Ash here, I'm back and I'm looking at Gems of War with, sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Steve Faulkner.
Steve. And so what is Gems of War?
So we, a number of years back, we created a game called Puzzle Quest, which is kind of the first game where we mixed RPGs with match 3 elements. So it's a puzzle RPG mashup. Gems of War is the latest iteration in that, and it's a kind of a cross between RPG, puzzle game, and a little bit of card collection in there as well.
Yes, you killed many batteries on my DS. Cool. Playing that game. I played a lot of Puzzle
Killing
Quest.
Batteries and damaging world productivity has been our goal for many years.
Yeah, it was a very addictive and quite unique at the time. I hadn't seen anything that had gone so deep on with a match 3, I think, at
yeah,
the time.
It had been my goal for years to write an RPG, and just without the budgets to make a $10 million RPG, seemed the only way I could make one was mixing it with a puzzle game. So it kind of worked out nicely.
You made a good one. You made a very good one. So how long have you been working on Gems of War?
Gems of War has been released for 12 months now.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
It's had almost 1 million players in it over that time, so it's been pretty huge. But we started work on that about 18 months beforehand, so it's all up. We've been in production 2.5 years.
Wow, and does it have a lot in common with Puzzle Quest?
Yeah, it's
with Puzzle Quest?
Kind of a spiritual successor to Puzzle Quest, really. You're matching gems. You're fighting opponents with those gems. It's still telling a bunch of stories, and there's a lot of PvP elements to the game now. But we added in a nice card collection mechanic, kind of like you'd find in Hearthstone, for example.
So is it similar in that when you match red gems, that does fire damage, I think it was, or magic damage, and you have to match certain gems to certain enemies?
More certain gems to certain allies in this one, actually. So each ally on your side has a number of colours. So you might have a red-green dragon. And if you match red and green gems, it powers up that dragon and can eventually cast a spell. If I match some skulls, that will just cause my guys to fly across the board and attack guys on the other side. So it's kind of a mix of spell casting and punching people in the face.
Wow, cool. And you've got one of the more elaborate booths here at PAX. Wow is all I can really say about that. I feel like I'm standing in a castle.
Yeah, right
now. We spent so many years building 3D models of castles, and we said, hey, what if we make a real one? And we did, and we made a real dragon as well. And he's coming back to hang in our office when we're done. But I think we're going to stick to 3D models of castles from here on in. They're a lot easier and a lot quicker to build.
I didn't actually see the dragon until you pointed it out. Wow, that's cool.
I think we're going to hold a competition on the internet later on to name him. He's going to be our mascot from here on in.
So, Gems of War is available now?
It is available now on iOS, Android and Steam.
And where can people go if they want to find out more about Gems of War?
They can go to gemsofwar.com, learn all about the game there. Very shortly we'll be out on Xbox and PlayStation 4 as well.
Wow, okay, great. Look forward to seeing that.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
There you go, that was amazing.
I thought it was amazing.
I liked it, I think.
It was good. It was a good one. I like that one.
Ash.
What are we just listening to?
What are you playing, Ash?
What am I playing? I've been playing Fallout 4, but we already talked about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. It's weird. I'm not feeling the excitement as I have for previous Bethesda games. Like, I was ravenous to get in there, and then I got it home, and I got it in my console, I turned it on, and I went, oh, it's another Bethesda game.
Because to me, you are a Oblivion.
Yes, absolutely. Fan. No. If this was an Elder Scrolls game, I'd be all over it.
See that
I don't know. I don't know why. It's just
I've
the
never really heard you talk about Fallout with much gusto before.
No,
but
I
you
guess not.
Elder Scrolls. You're right in there.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. It's just the theme. The theme gets me.
See, well, I'm the complete opposite.
Reason.
Like, Oblivion was boring as fuck for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
I love Skyrim, played a lot of it, but it wasn't amazing, but I'd still loved it. But yeah, Fallout, fuck yeah.
Well, look, I don't know. I'm going to give it a good shot. I'm going to finish it.
Good.
I'm going to play some more of it, but in the meantime, I've been playing a lot of Halo.
You're a sick man.
No, I'm not. I spoke to Cam about this. We're in agreement. It's a good game. You're the one who's wrong.
No.
But Cam isn't here, and everyone else in the room isn't playing it, so you're wrong.
When we get to the most soulless game of 2015, Halo 5
will not be it, because I've played over 200 games of Arena already.
That's fine. This is not the most played game. This is the most soulless cash-in, and Halo 5 is in there.
In time since it has come out, my play time is already well over 1 day. Yeah. I think I'm at 1 day... 20 hours or something right now. Ugh. of playtime just in multiplayer.
You're part of the problem, Ash.
I haven't even finished single player yet.
You are the problem.
You don't play the campaign much anymore anyway.
It's true. I don't know.
I think you even told me you didn't even want to touch the campaign in this one.
I put it on normal and like went through like half of them and went, I just don't care. Whatever.
Everyone's telling me that they're up their own ass for that
They kind of are. I don't know. I don't know enough. I haven't paid enough attention to the campaign to even comment on
books.
It. I did.
How many books did you read, Ash?
I don't know, a couple.
See, you fucked up right there, because there is about 15 now.
Yeah.
And I've read most of
probably.
Them.
Probably.
I've read all except for the last three that have come out.
So I read the first few and then sort of just
you
didn't.
Read the best ones.
Yeah.
Are they good? Yeah,
they're good.
The first one probably. Is good, the third one is good.
Wait, hang on. Which one was the first one? It was
so Fall of Reach is good.
Yes, Fall of Reach is
like,
great.
Arguably almost the best.
Yes, great book.
First Strike.
Yeah, is isn't
really
that
good.
Just the rewrite?
No, that's
of
the Flood.
Halo? No, oh, yes,
the Flood,
yes.
which bridges, which is just the first game. But
yeah,
like,
I got through, like
really
halfway
sloppy.
Through that and went, "This is just the game."
Yeah,
so I played this. I don't.
There's
need to
extra
read
bits
this.
In there though. Like,
I'm sure there are,
but
whatever.
Like, who cares? First Strike gets you from Halo 1 to Halo 2.
I think that might have been where I stopped.
And
I think I stopped
then
at the
Then it diverges and goes off into all the crazy side stories that...
Are they worth it?
Yeah. They're not paid off in the games at all, but they are infinitely more interesting than what is coming out now.
Can I get them in digital format?
Absolutely.
Okay, fine.
Some of them,
I'm on board.
But then like, there's a clear switch once Bungie stopped looking at Halo and Microsoft said, make more money.
Okay.
And they're just like pumping out books, signing book deals. Like they've signed, they immediately signed two trilogies.
Are you saying that Microsoft likes money?
Look, I'm not at liberty to say what I'm saying.
Okay.
But you can read into it what you want.
Why don't you tell me what you think you're saying instead of telling me what you are saying?
I mean, we're not discussing.
What's your
that
opinion
right now?
On what you think you're saying?
My head hurts. I'm tired.
Yeah. No, everyone seems to be. I think, Ash, you're the most excited for Halo that of all the people I know who play Halo.
Yeah, fair enough. I've played a lot of it.
Cool.
Already.
Are you ready?
I'm going to play a lot more of it.
Good. I'm glad.
When I said I was tired before, Halo is the reason I am tired, because I've gone to bed after midnight every night this week.
How is your
playing Halo?
How's your rec card situation? You got some cards to burn, or what's going on?
I don't really play Warzone. I played like 20 games of Warzone. I don't know. It doesn't really do it for me. I'm going to check out Big Team Battle when it arrives, but yeah. I've always been a 4v4 sure. person.
It's a shame that Fallout 4 doesn't have cards, because that's the hot new item.
It's like the only game this year that doesn't have cards.
I know.
I mean, even The Witcher had cards.
Actually had, yeah, Gwent.
Comes real cards. The expansion comes with real cards.
Hearts awesome. Of Stone. Hearthstone? Heart of Stone. What?
What?
These are two different things.
What are you talking about?
Heart of Stone and Hearthstone.
I don't know why they didn't just make that the App Store version of the card game. It's like Gwent, Hearts of Stone.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking brilliant. Why didn't they do that?
I haven't played Witcher 3, but I would play the fuck out of a Witcher 3 card game if it was available to me.
Well, I mean, it's long rumored that it is coming.
Sure.
Right? And it makes perfect sense for the App Store.
Yeah.
And it just would have been a brilliant piece of marketing if they just said, like, here's our card game. It's called Hearts of Stone. And, like,
It's a real shitty thing to do to Blizzard, cares? But, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, Project Red, they don't care.
They're, like, the most independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck it.
That's why I like them. That's great.
Yeah.
And, like, if they don't before the game came out. Like, I remember when Fable came out with pub games. Fuck, I love that game.
Really? Like Fable pub games is a standalone thing?
Yeah. Those are good games.
I didn't play it. I played the shit out of Uno on my 360.
Yeah.
Oh, Uno was great.
Yeah.
Uno was so fucking great. I saw so many penises.
Oh.
That was not what made it great. But
that's what Uno was, though.
Oh, it was. Every fucking room. You'd be in there and you'd be like, oh, yeah, cool, whatever. And my at the time girlfriend, now wife, would get on the chat, and people would just like start getting naked, and we're just like, cool, you're banned.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
It's just like, female voice, get naked. What came...
Well, yeah, that fucking 360 vision camera. Man, what a piece of hardware. Uno, and Burnout Paradise.
Burnout Paradise. I had so much fun with Burnout Paradise. Yeah, the whole... I remember this one kid, I just trolled the entire time.
Over and over again.
And I just had series of pictures of him just yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Because he was getting so... And he would start writing signs going, fuck you, and holding up to the camera every time. Like,
it was always fun when I got on with a friend and stuff, and like we would just be making obscene gestures to each other each time we were on each other's day.
Guys, Burnout Paradise is a really good game.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know why no one else has done that, though. Why has no one else copied that idea?
Well,
of, like, hey, you've got a camera? Because most consoles have a camera attached now.
The Kinect is in every box.
That's what I mean.
Wait,
not anymore.
Well, no. It was, but
there's still a good
percentage.
Yeah, there's still, like, there is a Kinect in a lot of homes right now.
Well, and probably the corner.
Or a PlayStation camera. That was quite a popular thing that came out.
My Rabbit ate through the cable. I don't regret. Yeah. I'm not going to buy another one.
Like, let me plug my Xbox 360 Vision into my Xbox One and let me play, like, backwards compatibility. Come on, Burnout Paradise.
They said that's actually not technically feasible right now.
The Wii has a camera on the gamepad.
Yes.
Yeah, so you get this awesome, like, upshot of someone's chin every single time. Oh, well,
even just that, like, why not on, like, mobile games and everything? You are looking at a camera if you are looking at a screen.
I have seen a game of a little dogfight game, and the heads of the fighters were the camera.
Like that DS?
That's great.
There's a 3DS game that does that.
Okay.
Yeah, you can map your face onto the enemies.
But yeah, I think it's a cool thing, but I just... Yeah. Burnout Paradise was so stupid and dumb.
Check this out. What if? Check this out. Burnout Paradise 2.
Never going to happen.
Because
you know they folded it all into
Need for Speed.
And the reboot of Need for Speed was a pile of flaming shit.
Like the one that just came out?
The one that just came out.
Like, I still want to play it, because apparently it's the closest to Need for Speed Most Wanted 2006. And I really like Need for Speed Most Wanted 2006.
Don't expect much. It's getting shit reviews across the board. What it does mean is they've got two IPs. They've got the Burnout IP.
Yeah.
and the Need for Speed one. The Need for Speed one has lost a lot of credence.
Yeah.
So they've got this nice sparkling burnout one. We've been
keeping it on the shelf.
That they could just pull that out for a couple of years while people forget about the Need for Speed.
We're aging Burnout.
God, that'd be great.
That would be so good.
I would love a new Burnout.
Yeah.
Because Burnout, like,
I was never into Burnout until Paradise came out, and then like that.
No,
is...
Burnout was even way really good before. Like the whole here's an intersection, get this many points by crashing into it.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah,
it's just a physics puzzle game.
Yeah.
That was so just good. Fun.
And they took that and then kind of weirdly molded it into this arcade racing game.
Yeah.
And I remember just turning off the first time, and Paradise City comes onto the radio.
Yeah. You're like,
and
yes,
just playing this and just. Fucking good game.
Avril Lavigne's girlfriend is in that game.
Yes.
The soundtrack is really good.
Can we just finish podcast and go back? Is, though,
just
like,
play that game.
That, can they even do that again? Like, if
remember all the expansions, the free expansions that came out for that game?
Like motorcycles, yeah. DeLoreans,
but,
like before,
but imagine
yes.
if, imagine
before
if it
DeLoreans
came out,
were cool.
Yeah. Imagine if you know, your dream scenario, Burnout Paradise 2, shows up. And you get it, and you put it on your console, and it's just completely soulless.
And it's just Need for Speed. Well, you mean like Halo 5?
Yeah.
Halo 5 is not soulless. It's a solid multiplayer experience.
The multiplayer in the game is like, hey, everyone, jump onto top of this roof.
Yeah.
And then you're just like jumping on top of this. Just,
like some of that stuff made its way into like some of the later Need for Speed games,
okay.
though, right?
I don't know. I've never played Need for Speed.
Yeah. I picked up like every second one here and there because I just want a racing game. That
from
looks
my
nice.
Understanding, like when you say some of it made it in, it was like, yeah, they'd take like one of those features maybe kind of half twist it into some other like soulless version of that and put it into this game. But like all the others would be forgotten. Yeah. And then they'd do,
So, I mean, eventually like Need for Speed is going to run out of steam and like that is the time, take a year off. Whatever you're working on, slap the Burnout name on it and shove it out the door, and everyone will just go, this sucks.
Or they could just take all of those developers and get them to make some like card game on iOS, because that's probably what will actually happen.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. That's not an oversaturated market already. But yeah. What are microtransactions? You could buy like new cars.
Though. Yeah.
Free to play Burnout, you guys.
I would play that. Free to play Burnout with 5 free cars,
basically Drive Club, but like
good
with but good.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, yeah,
an arcade Drive Club.
Give me 5 free cars. Give me all the cars for $60.
Yep.
Yeah,
a motorbike, 5 free cars.
Yeah,
but that's never going to happen because why would they give you all the cars for $60 when they could give you a car pass for like $100, best value.
Best value, and that gives me like 5, like gives me like 1,000 tokens, and I can redeem X amount of tokens for the
amount
of cars.
Yeah, you get like 30 cars for that, but there's actually like 4,000 cars in the game.
Sure.
If the game was as good as Burnout, but brought up to modern standards,
yeah,
I would consider that.
Oh, yeah. I would play it.
Yeah.
I would just kind of hate everything about it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good game.
Yeah, Burnout, man.
Make a Burnout Paradise, please. Yeah. Somebody. I don't even care who.
Yeah.
Just someone.
You know what? I keep seeing this. I keep checking in on this game on Kickstarter. It's called Drift Stage. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Nope.
Man, like, it's, you know, it, like, pixel art has been a thing for a while in indie games.
Yep.
This was Kickstarter, and this is like fucking low res polygon art,
which is the another.
Which
most
is like the next
thing. Yeah.
It's like old school R Cigarelli.
Is it low pixelated textures or is it flat textures?
All
shaded?
Of the above.
Great, I love it.
Like the music is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like it is amazing. I as a principal don't back things on Kickstarter. I was waiting to see if that made it, and I was like, if I'm the difference between this game getting made and not, I might chip in, but I'm not. So that game's gonna get made. I'm gonna keep tabs on it. Like it's just. Old school drifting low poly cars. I'm
just several Kickstarters. Just give them $1.
Yeah.
So then I get emails.
Sure.
And they get $1.
That makes sense. Yeah, I might consider that at some point.
It's a good way of just keeping track of things you're interested in. If it turns out to be shit, you lost $1. Who cares?
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Video games. Ash?
Video games.
Anything else?
What else? I caught like half of the Nintendo Direct. Tried to watch. Okay. Apparently. Watching a Nintendo Direct on a Nintendo platform is a shitty idea.
Watching anything on a Nintendo platform is a shitty idea.
I know, but I was like sitting there, I had my PlayStation on, and I'm like, oh yeah, the Nintendo Direct came out, I should probably like watch that. Oh, I've got this Wii U here, this will probably do it.
Sure, like the Wii U has a thing on its homepage, like, Nintendo Direct, right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought, so I turned it on, and sure enough, there was a big splash screen that said Nintendo Direct, watch here. And I'm like, cool, push the button. Watching Nintendo Direct, buffering. Watching Nintendo buffering.
And it's just YouTube.
I'm like, just how is this hard? Like, this is your platform selling your things to people who want to buy them.
Yeah. Yeah.
This should just work.
It's super sad that it doesn't just work.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo. Get the internet.
It could be my shitty Wi-Fi. I don't know.
No. It's always been like those
apps on the Wii U are bad.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
They're bad.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, are we going to talk about Nintendo Direct later on, or do you want to talk about now? What do you want to do?
We'll talk about in a bit.
Okay.
We'll talk about the games I've been playing first.
Yeah, like, what have you been playing?
Fallout 4.
Tell me more. I was going to say,
is there another game right now?
A lot of Binding of Isaac. That game is so good.
I fell down like a hole reading about what the fuck happened with that game.
What happened with it?
To prevent data mining, like, he basically made an ARG to prevent data mining, like, final characters.
Nice.
People were digging shit up in America somewhere, in San Diego or something like that, near where he lives.
They've hidden so much more stuff in that game.
Yeah, he was, I can't remember, I always forget the name of the creator.
Yep.
But he's super bummed about people data mining shit out. And when, like he said, there's 120 more items in Afterbirth than there were, and like for some reason only 74 showed up.
Yeah.
So people were pissed. And he's like, oh no, that was a glitch that I didn't activate half of the items. So I fixed that straight away. And then everyone, there's this number 109 that follows that game around.
Yeah.
And he would release the patch 109 hours after he made a statement, and the patch was 109 megabytes. Like, there's all this 109 stuff around the game. And, people found phone numbers and area codes and fill in all the gaps and, call the number, and there's a voicemail, and it's like, you know the question, but I want to hear you ask. I know the question, but I want to hear you ask me the question.
So awesome.
And it's like people leaving voicemails, and there's a Twitter account.
Bees.
Yeah. I love bees all over again.
I love bees.
Yeah. It's this insane thing. And eventually, someone dug up a statue of Mega Greed somewhere, and that had, a code on his head. And using that code opened something else up.
Man. I love people that do this.
Yeah, God, it's super awesome.
It's so awesome.
Yeah. Literally, the publisher was in on it, and he was, once people had figured out where they had to go to dig up this stuff, he went there and was watching people and sending photos of them and tweeting photos of people digging stuff up.
I would really like the opportunity just to design one of these interactive.
You could make a game and do this exact thing.
I have to make a game that's interesting enough for people popular.
Yeah, who's got time for that?
Exactly. I'd rather spend time designing this ARG, seeing out fake phone numbers, recorded messages.
You know enough devs now. You could maybe you could do it. Maybe
Let's pitch an ARG to someone.
Did you see that? What was that motorbike balancing game?
Loco Cycle.
No, not Loco Cycle.
That's a really funny joke that people will get if they came to the live show this
week. Yeah.
What was that? The motorcycle balancing game?
The Trackman, not Trackman, yeah. It's on the Xbox 360.
Trials.
Oh, Trials. Have you seen? They've been hiding a lot of crazy stuff in that. They're just cool. The recent one they found was there's this area, there's a button.
Yeah.
It does nothing.
Cool.
But there's a pit right next to the button. If you fall down the pit, you die. No problem. But the whole level sits inside a computer. So if you fall down there, there's some lights blinking in the background from a modem.
Oh, wow.
And so if you take the sound from the area when you die and put it into a spectrum analyzer, it spells out a sentence.
That's amazing.
And it's basically I can't believe you found this.
Yeah.
People went to great lengths, stuff like this all through the game, but it's great lengths just to figure this out, because obviously something's hidden here.
Yeah.
The team that makes that game are pretty fucking incredible. And that game has DLC where you ride a unicorn.
You're a cat riding a unicorn with a golden gun.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so incredible.
Yeah, the fact that got made and put out in 2015. Yep.
And you
crazy.
I can pay money for that.
Yeah.
Like right now.
You could do it. I was just thinking, you remind me of the other character. One of the other characters in Binding of Isaac Afterbirth is you have to die with four other characters in four very specific ways.
Okay.
The first one is Isaac to a certain enemy on a certain area.
Okay.
The second one, I think, is Magdalene to a certain enemy in a certain area. The third one is another character I hadn't heard of before. Has to die to one of Mum's attacks.
Okay.
And this all has to be done in order. Like, you can't...
How do you find this out?
I don't know. Data mining. That's why he was pissed about it. He wanted people to, like, not know until a long way later. Okay. So they data mine this stuff out. But you have to die to one of Mum's attacks. If one of the monsters kills you, start over again. And then the fourth one, different character, has to die to one of Satan's attacks.
Yep.
Has to be Satan. Can't be one of Satan's monsters. If a Satan monster kills you, start all over again. It's insane.
I love that game because the game just keeps going.
Yeah.
Like, you keep finishing it, and you're like, okay, I've seen everything there is to see, and oh, there's a door.
Sure.
What's this door?
Like, another door. Like, just another layer.
A door. And you're like, okay. And then you're like, you can't go through the door, so you go somewhere else, and you finish the game. You're like, but there's a door.
Yeah.
And then I spent, like, about six playthroughs and accidentally stumbled across something that gave me half the key.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you fucking bastard.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Piece of shit. Now I know how to get both parts of the key, and that's no problem.
Yeah.
And then, like, you face Mega Satan and all this other stuff, and fuck that.
Yeah.
But there's so much more they keep finding in that game.
Yeah. So I think I still own the vanilla version of that, and I've played a few rounds of it. I haven't super dug real deep on it. But, like, I watched this video where someone had fed, there's a, not a, like, a vending machine that you can feed as many coins as you want to it.
Yep.
And it goes up to 999.
Yeah, you can feed between 2 and about 10 per playthrough before it breaks.
Oh, okay.
Each playthrough just remembers how much it did before. Or you can blow it up to get some of the coins back if you need them.
Yeah.
I'm up to about 610 at the moment.
Sure. Okay, I wasn't quite sure how that was working.
Yep.
But I think there's a way that if you can feed it 7, leave the room, come back, and then feed it some more.
Okay.
But it's also in the same room as, like, Mega Greed. So you have to kill Mega Greed each time you go back in there or something like that.
It's in random places,
It
is always where Mega Greed is. Which with time, I've killed Mega Greed 3 times now with different characters, and each time he strips all the money off me, so I'm not sure how it works.
I don't know. I watched this video of this person.
Yep.
They had this stream of fucking shit behind them that was a mile long, and I'm like, what is this game now? Having not played since vanilla, I'm just like, what are all... Like, this person just has 40 items and they're all just following them around.
The last character I just unlocked,
crazy.
She can't fire at all.
Oh, okay.
But she starts with a familiar friend who follows you around.
Yeah.
And you could, I'm pretty sure that her playthrough is weighted to get more friends.
Right.
And her special ability is double all the friends.
Jesus.
So I was playing, Dee was watching me, and the whole screen was just full of things happening, and all I'm trying to do is dodge and just hold down the fire button. It was hilarious.
That's crazy.
Such a good game.
But yeah, this person got this vending machine up to 1,000 coins, and it broke, and said, "Hey, congratulations, you did it." Like, that was it.
Mm.
I was like, "That's a."
But the vending machine does stuff at intervals during the thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it unlocked a whole bunch of cool stuff for me.
I think there might have been an achievement associated with it as well.
Like, but it probably does something at 999. Doesn't actually tell you.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway,
it's a damn good game, and every time I get people to play it, they hate it. Fucking love it.
I don't hate it. I just don't have the time to invest to become good at it.
So good.
And I can see that.
Well, Cam just went from playing on the console to playing on the PC, and he said he spent 3 hours and got a huge distance through it. Because once you know the basics of it, you can actually go quite far through it. It's just annoying that first playthrough, you go through 4 levels and it finishes. You got to go through, you go 5 levels and finishes.
Yeah, you got to be good enough to finish those 4 levels.
Yeah.
I'm not even there.
I'm playing on the hardest difficulty.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for Binding of Isaac players.
Yeah, but I'm dying about 9 times out of 10.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to. I don't have that time.
Good game.
Yeah.
Lococycle.
Yeah. Lococycle?
Yeah.
Not a good game.
No.
No.
It's a good game. Good answer
good
to a
trailer.
Question, yeah.
Amazing trailer.
Really good trailer.
Yeah.
Actually, everyone should watch the trailers for it. Live action. Cutscenes, everything, bad acting.
It was the heralding of FMV games. It was a sign that FMV games are back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Need for Speed. FMV game. Follow the money.
Let's take the break.
Break.
I love bees.
I'm going to let you introduce yourself in the game. Go, quick.
My name is Travis Donkson. I'm the lead designer and director of Atomizer Games.
Yep.
And we're here at PAX 2015 showing off Heist.
Heist. Now, you've shown this off last... Did you show off last year?
No, the year before. The very first one.
That's when I saw it.
Yeah, we were with the AIE as part of the incubator that year. And so we're showing off a really early prototype then. The game's come quite far. We're still sort of in an alpha stage, coming to beta at the moment.
Yep.
And we're getting a massive, like, really positive response here today.
Awesome.
Or this weekend.
So, yeah, it's come a long way. You want to tell us what the game's about?
So the game is a noir cat burglar game where you use non-lethal tools to get in, get it, and get out.
Yep.
So it's a very pure stealth game.
So you play like a private detective kind of guy?
No. You're a cat burglar, as I said.
Okay. You're wearing a hat.
Everyone wore
a
hat.
A trench coat.
Everyone wore a hat in the 1920s.
Okay, fair enough.
And a trench coat, of course. it's just all about the style. Yeah, so it's all about the avoiding, the evading, planning ahead, like actually being sneaky. There's no killing whatsoever.
Cool. So, you're working on this with AIE originally, and now you're... Are you still in incubator?
No, we're past incubator. That was just 2013.
Yep.
We did the post-incubator program, which they gave us office space for another year.
Awesome.
In 2014. We're actually back with them this year. we got in there a couple months ago. They gave us office space. They've been fantastic for us, to really get us off the ground, get going, really make a good stuff Atomizer.
Awesome. How long do you think this is going to be before it's finished?
We're not 100% sure as to when the release would be. We're sort of tipping at this point about quarter two next year.
Yep. How many people in the team?
We've got a five-man team, including our composer.
Yep.
So that's myself, the lead designer.
Oh, that didn't do no real work. Composers don't work.
We just sit in hammocks and dream. Occasionally write stuff on there.
Exactly.
You go draw this. You go code that.
Yeah, exactly.
then we've got our artist, Wilksie, who does a fantastic job in capturing that noir graphic novel style. And we've got two really talented programmers that without them, it wouldn't be a reality.
Awesome. So what next for you guys?
Well, we're pushing for Steam Greenlight currently. We launched it the Friday in the morning. It's actually taken off really well.
Good.
We're hoping we can keep the momentum, keep the steam going. No pun intended.
Oh, I think you did that. I didn't get it.
what's GOG? hopefully we'll get it on Steam. We've actually got a lot of interest from a few platform holders like Xbox and Sony. So we'll just ride the wave, see where it takes us, see what happens with it.
Making games.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we're here for.
Awesome. Where can people go to find out more?
You can go to at Heist the Game, capital letters, for our Twitter to find out more. Heistgame.net is our website. And then atomizergames.com to find out more about us, the developers.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey guys, I'm with Dave from C117 Games. How's it going?
Good, yourself?
Good. We're staying in front of your booth, Hive. That's the name of your game. Hive, Not By Design.
Correct.
Why is it Not By Design?
Do you want spoilers?
Sure.
I can do a spoiler-free version.
Okay.
So the events of the game and what happens, something is affecting every single person in the game except for you.
Okay.
So you are an anomaly.
Nice.
That is why it's Not By Design. And depending on how astute you are, you can probably figure out what's happening by the other part of the title.
Okay. So we're looking at a classical style RPG front. Is the game pretty much that style of game?
Yes, exactly. Okay. I was a big fan of the Super Nintendo Final Fantasy games.
Yep, of course. Yeah, I love
Breath
definitely
of Fire,
see it. Yep.
Chrono Trigger, Harvest Moon, all of those games, Dragon Quest games. What I've tried to do is I wanted to make an RPG. So 2 years ago, I wrote a story. I was going to make a book. I'm not any good at writing. So I wanted to make an RPG. But I wanted to make it and include everything I loved about all the different RPGs. So the style is the style of Final Fantasy II. I've made, instead of like in Pokemon, when you speak to a person, they say the same thing every time. Every time you speak to someone in this game, they say something different.
Yep.
If I speak to you and then I speak to that person, then I speak to that person, then I speak to you again, you know that I've spoken to the other two, so your dialogue may change accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Most dialogue has options. what you choose determines relationships with certain people, which can affect decisions later on in the game, etc., etc. I wanted to have quests, sub-quests, branching quests, so, you know, in the start of the demo, you can choose whether to help your friend or not.
Yep.
If you don't, you go on a cut, you go and collect eggs, which just fades out to a cutscene because nobody likes collecting 50 eggs as a quest.
So it's kind of a joke. Go collect 50 eggs. You're like,
Exactly. And you're like, oh, come on. And you collect one and it goes one. Collect the second, it goes, oh, none. Collect the third one, oh, another egg. And then it fades to a cutscene.
Yeah.
But in the cutscene, you see your friend nearly die and she prays and she gets the strength to defeat the monster that nearly kills her. That changes your religious alignment in the game, which if you keep doing stuff that raises your religious alignment, at the end of the game you'll get a different end, more religious based. Hard to say without spoilers.
Yep.
Then if you choose the other way, you'll have different options and that avenue will be closed off, etc., etc., as well as your relation to the character. So I've tried to throw all that sort of stuff in there. You know, like our traditional RPGs, when you walk through a dungeon, the screen will flash.
Yep.
Bang, you're in a fight. I hate invisible enemies.
Yep.
So all my enemies are visible. Nice, I get a little exclamation part and they'll start chasing you so you can determine, oh, yeah, I'll go that route,
or
I'll go that route.
An earlier area, you can just avoid them all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you always have to fight some.
Okay.
But you can choose. And you can also, you know, use potions and all that sort of stuff before taking them on, yeah. So I've tried to incorporate all that.
How long have you been working on this for?
About 6 months.
Okay.
So I did a proof of concept about 2 years ago, and it took me a long time to get the team together.
Yep.
Just finding artists that fit the team, really.
How many of you are there?
So it's me, and I contract to four guys.
Mm-hmm.
I got one guy in Brazil who does the music, a guy in South Africa who does the map art, a guy in Sydney who does the portrait art, and a guy in Melbourne who does the monster art. So I basically give them the specs of what I want, and they come back to me and pretty much get it right every time.
That's
they're a really good team.
It's always good, especially if they're not working together with artists. You always want to make...
Well, it's actually proved really interesting. We work together in a Facebook group, and everyone understands the game to a point now that everyone is affecting the game.
Yeah.
I asked John to draw a character, and he draws him with a cow that's wearing mascara.
Yep.
And then that goes, oh, and I change the story quest accordingly. And then the map artist makes that guy's house have, you know, cow print images on the wall. And it's really been amazing how much the dialogue and the shape of the game has changed just based
on... It's always good when you have everyone just touching the project in a meaningful way.
Yeah, it makes us... We're all part of the same... Yeah.
Someone's not there just making rocks for sake of making rocks.
Yeah, actually. Oh, you want that? Okay, here's a house. Yeah. Here's a room. Here's this. Yeah, exactly.
So where can people go to find out more about Hive?
C117games.com. Mm-hmm. We've got very active forums. I burnt the discs for the demo a week ago. Gave them to a whole bunch of guys on the forums. I'm now two versions on because they pointed out all the things that I mucked up.
It's always good to have a fan base. They're always ready to point out what you did wrong.
Oh, but they're very friendly.
Good.
You know what I mean? Constructive criticism.
Course,
the best type.
Oh, so, awesome. The game looks really good.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you so much.
Cheers.
Hey guys, day three here at PAX. I'm here with Michael from Craftfin with their game Loop and Ball. How's it going?
It's been amazing. The response has been amazing. We've had a constant stream of people over the past 2 days, and I hope we can keep it up today. It's been overwhelming, the amount of positive reception we've been getting.
Awesome. You still have your voice, which is better than half the booths around here.
Yeah, drinking a lot of water is the secret. Drink a lot of water.
Yep. So tell me about this game, Loop and Ball. I'm seeing dogs and fireballs and a soccer field.
Pretty much. So it's wolf dodgeball, essentially.
Okay.
Wolves have to collect the little orbs around the arena to power up. They have to collect exactly three.
Okay.
And after that, you can see they can either shoot or shield themselves from opposing shots. But the trick is those shots, they last forever until they hit something.
So more and more chaotic.
Yes. The longer each round goes on, the harder it is to survive.
So we've got a kind of a mini game thing. Each round is slightly different.
Yeah, slightly different courses.
Yep, yep.
So the one you're seeing there is a soccer table, a football table, but there's also a scrolling music box, a river forest, an abandoned temple, just all these different kinds of stages that we're hoping to have a different theme behind them and maybe even a different hazard.
Awesome. So how long have you been working on this game for?
On and off for around 11 months.
Okay.
So I work on this part-time, doing the programming, doing the design. Chris works on it with me. He's my artist. He's been working on it for around 7 months.
Yep.
He joined the project, I think, in around April and has quickly picked up pixel art. It's been amazing how quickly he's picked up pixel
art.
One
of those,
it just looks so amazing.
It's
he's
one
done
of those
a really good
people
job.
Think it's easy, but no, it's really hard. So you're lucky if he's got it. So.
Oh, yes. He learns really fast. And, you know, we just had to work really hard to get it to where it is now. Even simple games, they're never easy because the amount of polish you have to put into them to
exactly.
make them feel good
yep.
to play, whether it's making the controls responsive or making it look, sound, and feel good when something happens within the game. Even in simple games, it just takes a long, long time. So you need to be very dedicated if
yes.
you want to get into this industry. And luckily, we do have people who are that dedicated, as you can see. PAX Rising is just packed.
Freaking amazing this year. Double the size of last year. I love it here at the moment.
Yes,
so,
I love this section
as
well.
And the quality is one thing. Like I was saying, there's probably, excluding the weird Chinese booth over in the corner that has the horse racing game in Mahjong that no one looking at, there's probably two or three games that are a bit below quality level that I don't think should be here. Everything else is just absolutely amazing.
Absolutely, yes. The amount of people that have been here is just so much greater than last year. I think because the general reputation of indies is going way up.
Yes, definitely.
Indies, we're trying to pick up, you know, our game. We are trying to be right up there in terms of we want to offer the best thing we possibly can
yep.
for people and not just, you know, use indie as an excuse to not put in the extra effort.
Exactly.
Not that I'm saying anyone does that. It's just that was the perception up until recently.
There are still a few people out there who put
PAX Rising, you know, look at the amount of people here. People are loving indies now, and
exactly.
it's wonderful.
Exactly. So how long before this game's out?
We don't really know. I mean, we're going to go on a when it's ready
yep.
schedule, when it's done.
Going down the valve.
We're doing the whole valve thing of releasing it when we feel that, you know, it's worth buying.
Yep, yep, yep.
We're hoping for around no more than 6 months
yep.
because I want to add an online mode. Currently, as a programmer, I can tell you that we've almost got it working with two players over LAN,
yep.
so we're just working our way up from there.
Nice.
Then we also got to add more courses. There's 5 in this demo. We're hoping for at least 12, maybe
yep.
16. So a lot of variety there. And, you know, just general polish as well. Better menus, better UI. Just little things to make it good for release, good for 1.0.
Awesome. And where can people go to find out more about Lupin Ball?
Lupinball.com.
Mm-hmm.
There is a link to our Steam Greenlight page, which as of this recording is still ongoing. So we still need your votes. We still need your votes.
Go, pick it up, guys. Come on.
Lupinball.com, yes.
Yep.
And there is a big green link up in the top of the page to click that says Lupin Ball on Greenlight. So that's the biggest thing that people can do to help us out
awesome.
If they want to. Check us out and they like what they see. Loopinball.com also has a trailer, a lot of screenshots on it,
yep.
a link to our Facebook page, a link to my personal Twitter. So, yeah, just that's the one-stop shop if you want to learn more about Loopinball but weren't able to make it to PAX this year.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm keen to have a go of it.
Yes, thank you for your time today.
Thanks. There was some more amazing interviews from PAX.
Woo, PAX.
They were good.
They're good.
I wasn't there.
I was there.
They were great. Ash was there for some of them.
I was typing on things.
You were? It was great. So we talk about Nintendo Direct?
Yeah, that was the thing that happened this week?
Yeah.
Cool.
I saw a buffering.
You saw a buffering?
No, they're actually releasing buffering.
Oh, really?
It's
that's a game?
Hot new title.
Yep.
It's the progress bar that fills up.
Cool.
It's been advertising everywhere. On
all
videos.
Is there like any characters I know in it? Like, are they bringing Mario?
Little spinning circles.
Is Cloud in that one? Is that...
No, mm-hmm. Cloud doesn't really work. You don't. It's always a spinner.
Is it in the cloud? Is that the thing?
No, that's the problem because it's in the cloud.
That's the DeviantArt version of Cloud.
Right.
It's in the cloud, but you can't get to it.
Making a face.
At least not
fast. Yeah. All right.
So what did come out, Mr.?
I wrote down two things that I care about from Nintendo Direct. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start from the end.
Okay.
Because that's what Cam yelled at me to be like, you need to be watching this Nintendo Direct right now. Shit is popping off. And I've turned it on and motherfucking Cloud is in Smash Brothers now.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud from Final Fantasy VII. Cloud Strife with his sword and everything. Mm-hmm. Smash Brothers, limit breaks. Midgar level with summons, the whole nine yards. That shit looks legit.
Mm-hmm.
Still not going to buy Smash.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bought Smash on the Wii and I played it twice and then haven't gone back to it.
I did exactly that. I think it
was
that.
Was it our friend Benno that got us into
it? Yes. Yep. Yeah, he was super psyched for it and he made me believe. He made me believe that I wanted to play this game. I did not want to play this game, as it turns out.
Yeah.
I'm sure I do actually want to play the game. If I had friends who were playing it, great.
Yeah.
But I don't.
At this point, if you're into Smash, you are into Smash.
Exactly.
That's what you're into.
I've got full respect for people who play Smash.
If you're not into Smash now, you're not into it. Like, you just don't. Like, because you... Yeah. Anyway.
It could happen. If you had the right friend, right group of friends, it could happen.
All right. The other thing that came out that I care about is Linkle. The girl Link. Link is a girl now.
Why?
So.
Why? Why is it Linkle? Why isn't it just fucking Link? Is Link not unisex enough?
Are you telling me that... Zelda's a girl now?
No, Link is a girl.
So Zelda's a girl now?
Link, well, Zelda's always
been
a girl.
Shut up, Ben.
So are they going to make Metroid a girl now too?
You're a piece of shit. Get out.
I don't think it's supposed to be this is girl Link, isn't it? Just this character
that has a
story and an identity.
But what game's this coming out for?
She's coming out in Hyrule Warriors Legends.
Exactly, which is not really a proper... It's not
an actual Zelda game.
But why do they have to make it Linkle? Why couldn't it just be like, I don't know, if Link is a boy or a girl? Who cares?
Yeah.
Do you want to play like Robin in Smash Brothers? Do you want to play as girl Robin or boy Robin?
I don't like the idea of, like, it just seems like a diversity thing rather than let's try and make a good story where... A female.
I think Nintendo are testing the waters because they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I would fucking love for the next Zelda game to have a female protagonist.
So much.
That would be fucking amazing.
Like, remember when they showed that trailer at E3 2014? Where, like, there was an explosion and Link jumped off the horse and was shooting a bow. And I'm like,
yes.
That Link looks a little effeminate, which is fine. But maybe they're testing the waters. And if all goes well, they can just quickly go, hey, we got this Linkle model. Let's put her in the new Wii U Zelda.
Yeah, I'm against the name.
The name is bad, but I like the concept.
Wait, are you telling me Nintendo has picked a bad name for something?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
I will forgive Nintendo for it, but it's just, I don't like the diversity for the sake of diversity.
I really
say that she's got her own story and is her own character. We just don't know what that is yet.
Yeah, she's her own character.
It's Nintendo. Like she was grew up in a.
But this isn't Nintendo.
She's Link's little sister or some bullshit.
Yeah,
that's what it'll be.
I'm gonna hold back saying anything till it's all released and everyone knows because I don't want to blow it up. But it just comes across as a bit cammy.
I just want why? That's my only question. Why not just call it Link and say whatever? It's a girl. Who cares?
Yeah, agreed. Linkle. What the fuck is that name?
That is a terrible name.
Is that terrible? Yeah. Hey, you guys, you know what's a terrible name?
Wii U. Yeah.
And the Wii.
I don't know. New 3DS is pretty and the bad.
Mii. Oh, new 3DS is kind of awful, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. It's following on the new iPad there, aren't they?
Yeah, they're following.
Oh, yeah, they're in the new iPad like 5 years after the fact.
Apple kind of dropped that a while ago and just went back to, fuck it, it's an iPad Air 2.
Because they realized it's going to cause... confusion.
Because what happens when there's a new iPad?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They went short-sighted.
iPad, iPad 2, the new iPad, iPad 4th generation, iPad Air. Like, yeah.
Although their MacBook series is still kind of fucked up in naming. It's like MacBook Pro.
We could go on at length about Apple's naming scheme. It's not very good. They should fucking wipe the slate and just have, here is what this product is. In this year.
Yeah, the 2015.
This is the 2015 MacBook Pro.
Like they do with cars.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
MacBook Pro, Chrysler, sports utility.
The new
2015.
Jeep.
Yeah. whatever it is. Just make it... Don't identify it with a number off the end of it. Just call it...
You just go, I've got a MacBook Pro. And then when people want to know exactly, you're like, 2015 model.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do, but...
That is kind of what they do, but it's not it's very obscure how they do it.
It's not written on the box in any meaningful way.
As we all know, you can't play video games on a Mac, so like, let's not talk about this anymore.
So, speaking of video games...
As a Mac gamer, I'm just trying to keep this show on the road.
What is the second thing you want to bring up from the...
That was it. Cloud and Linkle.
Okay.
two people.
The thing I want to bring up.
Go on.
Speaking of Linkle. Is the bathroom, remake of one of the worst Zelda games.
Oh, that's right.
Ever to be remade.
That was my first Zelda game.
Really?
And it burnt me on Zelda
forever.
It was
so bad.
Yeah.
Twilight Princess.
I was vindicated by someone else calling it boring. And I went, good, it wasn't just me. That game was fucking boring.
It was muddy. It was dark.
Yeah.
It was ugly.
Great.
It was boring.
Great.
It was, speaking of ticking boxes.
That's
this game was a game of ticking all the Zelda boxes with nothing interesting happening.
Yeah. All right. Good. So let's remake that.
The funny thing was, one of the guys at work, as soon as it got announced, he's like, I can say things. I worked on that game. I wasn't allowed to say anything.
Really?
Worked on it a year ago.
Wow.
He did all the environment art.
Oh, that's right. Because they're getting an Australian place to redo it for
the year. Yeah. So it's all been done last year.
Really? That game is in the pipeline, just ready to go.
Yeah. So it's been all the... I understand is all the character stuff was done somewhere else, but all the level stuff was done in Australia.
And so
and that was done way early because they were just copying stuff.
So it would be a tweak from the GameCube version though because of the whole flipping thing.
That's correct. It is the
The most bizarre thing.
It's the left-handed Link version, not the right-handed Link version.
Because Link is canonically left-handed.
Yes.
Man, what a weird thing.
But,
like on the Wii U, they flipped it all so he was right-handed so that you could play with the Wii remote in your right hand. I had no idea.
I'm left-handed.
Too bad.
Too bad. Play with your right hand.
Or get the GameCube version, which is
the
right way around.
Version. Like the definitive version
which
of the game.
Plays
whatever,
better,
man. Like,
you don't have to waggle to attack.
I played that whole game with my and this is going to work real well on a podcast, with my arm like over the back of the couch and just sort of...
Oh, but I had my hands crossed with my wrists on top of each other and just kind of wiggled.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about the... That was the best thing about the...
What about the Wii remote, though, Ben?
The fact that your hands
could be
anywhere.
Oh, I used my foot.
Yeah.
The only good thing about the Wii Remote and Nunchuck is the fact that you could just arrange your hands in any position that was comfortable.
I kind of want to play Metroid Prime 3 with a GameCube controller.
Yeah.
Because
that is like the second best Metroid Prime game.
It is the second best Metroid Prime game.
Yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page here.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. 1-3-2 is the order.
Yes,
is the
correct order.
Thank you.
In fact, 2 could probably just fuck off.
Yeah.
It's probably a better Metroid Prime game that's not that one. I don't know.
Like some sort of Castlevania game that's probably pretty good.
I don't know, maybe like you could just go like that Other M. Other M is the best Metroid Prime game.
No. No. We're not having this conversation anymore. Zelda is coming out for the Wii U. So yeah, like that game burned me out on Zelda immediately because it was my first one. And then I got into Wind Waker.
I was
going to
say,
bad.
Play Wind Waker.
Wind Waker HD, real bad.
I haven't got HD yet. I still want to get it because it's still like $70.
Oh, it's so good.
I know.
It's so good.
The funny thing was,
I didn't finish it, but it's really good.
I finished the first, like, the
and
game.
And there's a fast fucking, what's it called? The fast sail. So you can go even faster across the giant ocean. Oh, what a great game.
I love that game.
Yeah.
My favorite Zelda.
It's one of the best Zeldas.
I've got to get that HD one and then finish it eventually.
There's
too many other games. I've got to get like too many.
Like when we hit May next year and you're like, oh, video games, what are they?
Remind me then.
Like,
I will fucking pick it up then because
Siri,
too many games for me to play right now.
Remind me to remind Ash in May.
Yeah, cool
thing. Say Nintendo Direct. What else you got?
That's all I know.
Those were the things, right?
Was there anything else that came out that I should know about?
Pokemon. Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow are coming back out.
The watch thing game.
Yo-Kai Watch.
I played that at PAX.
How was that?
It's not very good.
Yeah, it's...
Like, you have to hunt for the Pokemon.
Yeah.
You hunt for the Yo-Kai because they're ghosts. Nah, man, just, like, put me in some tall grass. Make them come to me. Fuck that.
Well, apparently the game suffers from... It's all based on Japanese mythology.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it doesn't translate very well.
Yeah.
So, but there are... Apparently there's been dozens of games already in Japan.
Oh, yes.
Of course I have.
There's
and
an anime.
They're attempting to push it over to us.
Oh, yeah.
So,
It's a merch thing where it's like we can sell... Every character in the game has an actual yokai watch.
Yeah.
So we can sell yokai watches
and
shit that goes in the yokai watch
that makes
the noise.
You only have to pay for translation and localization. You don't have to make a new game again. So it's all cheap and...
Sure.
And if it takes off, it's going to be more money for Nintendo.
Yeah, more Pokemon.
And
Nintendo's
more amiibos.
Pretty good at making money.
More amiibos. Yeah. More Smash Brothers characters. You know. It's all a little, you know, bubble like...
Fucking Nintendo.
Nintendo. They got some ideas. I was going to say they got some good ideas, but they have some ideas. Mm. So, you know. They got that going for them.
Hey, speaking of Nintendo, D, what's happening on the 25th?
Apparently my giant Yarn Yoshi will arrive.
Giant Yarn Yoshi.
Yay!
She's going to have every Yoshi amiibo.
And that's an amiibo. So far. That's the giant amiibo. One
so
is
far,
also
except
amiibo.
For the ones that come out like the week after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for future ones.
I'll laugh if they brought out the giant one and then brought out different colours of the giant. That giant one was fucking expensive.
No, I'd laugh if they brought out a slightly bigger giant one.
Yeah. Amiibo or no.
Or slightly
or like
one.
This one, you squeeze the hand and it goes, rip-bang, like it makes the noise when you get on the Yoshi or something like that.
Yeah, I would buy that.
Yeah.
You just fucking ride it.
You just ride, like an actual ride on Yoshi? Yes.
Like you need a license to ride. It's actually a motor vehicle.
Yes.
Wasn't there a cart in Mario Kart 8 that was a Yoshi?
Like I want one of the Yoshi scooters.
Yeah.
From Mario Kart.
You could ride a Yoshi while being on a Yoshi. Or your Mii character could wear a Yoshi suit while riding on a Yoshi bike.
This is all like amazing.
Wait,
Nintendo
can Yoshi wear a Yoshi suit while riding a Yoshi motorbike?
Not.
No,
God damn
I wanted to do that.
That game is yet to be made.
Yeah.
Someone get
Nintendo hot
Someone
ideas coming your way.
Someone get Reggie on the phone.
Yeah.
Reggie, Yoshi, in a Yoshi suit riding a Yoshi. Like, wait, could I? I wonder if in Mario Maker you could use the Yoshi amiibo to get the Yoshi costume and then put Yoshi on a Yoshi. That might work.
Maybe.
Make it happen.
Maybe.
I'll look into it.
You're not having any... No.
Borrow a Yoshi amiibo.
They're not coming out of the boxes.
Mine aren't coming out of the boxes.
I like how they've purposely given them a nice gap between the bottom and
I know!
Yeah, they've
because
done that
the Sky,
entirely
the original Skylanders, they didn't think
of
that. And people
yeah, and
they
just put them straight on the thing.
Bastards.
Damn it.
So you got to buy two now, one in package.
I know! Where am I going to find another Samus? And Wii Fit Trainer. Actually, Samus I have seen. Wii Fit Trainer I have not seen any more of. So I'm quite happy with my Wii Fit Trainer buy.
Let's take one last quick break. This is the last set of interviews from PAX 2015.
Woo!
Yay!
It's over.
It is.
Finally.
For only 300 more days to the next one. It's going to be great.
Hey guys, Ash here. Well, I'm with Derek from Garou Games. How
are
you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. So what are we looking at here today? This is
Loco Loco. It's a train game where you have to build the train track ahead of the train, pick up the passengers, drop them off at the stations, and then connect the train to the Grand Central Station at the end of the level.
So this is not procedural. These are pre-made puzzles?
These are pre-made levels, yes. I have touched every single level in this game.
that's a little I've got a disturbing image here.
It's a little bit too much information.
Show me on the doll where the man touched you on the level.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was definitely, it's taken us about 2 years to make this game, so we've all been doing it in our spare time, and it's just three of us, three developers working on it.
Yeah, so I think you mentioned that you were previously from a AAA background.
Yeah, so I've worked on games like Harry Potter and Destroy All Humans, and my artist has worked on Brink and Unreal, and my programmer worked on Heavy Rain and L.A. Noir.
Wow, okay, some big titles in there. What's made you come to indie titles?
Well, the Australian games industry kind of struck hard times a few years ago, and we all really enjoyed working with each other and were kind of appreciative of each other's abilities, and we seemed to complement each other in that respect. So we decided to band together and make our own game.
Cool. I'm noticing a lot of... I'm watching Ben play over here, over your shoulder here. I'm noticing a lot of going through fields.
Yes, yeah. I don't think the farmers will be too thrilled But you can't stop progress, man.
Can't stop progress. Is this very far away from release?
It's out. It was released 2 days ago.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so we launched just before PAX. We're pretty, we're fiercely, proudly Australian, and we wanted to launch at PAX and be at PAX and get it out to people.
Where are you guys from?
Sydney. Yeah.
Cool.
But we're kind of a bit scattered now, so we started the game all in Sydney together.
Yep.
And we've had to move, and we've been doing sort of split development, and that seems to have been working all right.
Okay, cool. You all met obviously before, like when you were doing AAA development.
Yeah.
Have you worked together much before that?
No. We all came from very different parts of the industry. I'm sort of American and Australian. My programmer is French. He's obviously worked with, Quantic Dream and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And Aaron had been working in England on the Brink game.
Awesome. So where do people go if they want to find out more about Loco Loco?
Yeah, you can go to our website, www.gurugames.com, or our Facebook page. Please like us on Facebook. We'd love to share on that.
Awesome. No worries. So Loco Loco, available now.
Yeah. iOS and Android.
Great.
Yeah.
This game is adorable.
Hey guys, it's Ash here. I'm here with John from Gritfish. John, we're looking at Mellow Drops.
Yes.
So this is your game?
Yes, it is. I'm the designer, developer, and lead artist on the game. We're showing it off today. We've had a whole bunch of people come through and play it and get lost in the puzzles.
What is it exactly?
So Mellow Drops is a gravity-based puzzle with sliding block puzzles laid over the top of that. If you can imagine sort of the gravity puzzle platformer that is fairly common on Steam, or fairly common on PC anyway, we've taken that and we've removed all of the platforming elements out of it. So when you move in a straight line until you hit a wall, and enemies only move when you do, so you're free to just take it at your pace. And there's no sort of dexterity to limit how well or how fast you play it.
So it's, I think I saw you in some of your promotion material reference ice challenge games.
Yeah, it's a good way to sort of visualize the movement. If most people's reference is Pokemon.
Yep.
The sliding across ice levels in that, where you slide until there's a safe spot, and then you can change direction from there. That's how the movement in this game works. But okay. Then there is rotating gravity, and blocks fall and change the paths that you can go into.
So are you by yourself on this project, or is there a team?
Okay, so I do most of the coding and level design at this point. I am subcontracting Matt Patrak, who is a wonderful artist who is making everything cute and, you know, nicely animated. And I'm working with composer Megan O'Neill, who's doing all of the music and the dynamic soundtrack. And
I haven't actually had a chance to hear any of the music yet.
Yeah, some of the PCs have headphones. It's, as you can probably hear through the mics, it's way too loud to hear the iPads here.
It is very, very loud in here.
Yeah.
So how long have you been working on this?
18 months to 2 years. It's a little hard to keep track. I do this in my spare time.
Yep.
About at the 18 months to 2 years mark, and we're hoping to have it ready for Steam early next year.
Cool. What was the inspiration behind it?
If you remember, well, the sliding across ice puzzles was sort of the original design for the movement, but also a game called Chip's Challenge on the PC.
I do remember Chip's Challenge.
Yeah, so I was saying there were a couple of reference points, and it's usually either people remember that movement style from Chip's Challenge or from Pokemon.
Yes, I was actually going to say that. When you said ice puzzles, I'm like, do you mean Chip's Challenge ice puzzles? But
yeah, I played an obscene amount of that game as a child. So a lot of the mechanical inspiration came from that, and sort of the early Nintendo character-based puzzles like Sokobon and The Adventures of Lolo is another one. But making those much less punishing, much more of a sort of Monument Valley. There's no punishment for death. It just sends you back to you know the last safe position. Because it's kind of a terrible idea to sort of make someone redo all of the correct moves for one wrong move in a puzzle game.
I think it's one of those things. Like if you're going to give someone a fail state, you give them a fail state that's very nearby, because the last thing you want is that, oh no, I've got to do all of this again.
Yeah, and I hesitate to liken it to Fez, but that is where the sort of, it's the last position on the ground where you were safe.
Yep.
That is exactly how Fez deals with death. So that one mechanic is from Fez, but the rotating thing, not so much. It is.
and the character, what is that?
The character is a little Kiwi. There are actually two of them. There is Mallow and Marsh.
I thought you were going to say Mallow and Drop.
No, Mallow and Marsh. we've named most of the animal characters so far in the game after terrible puns. So we've got Mallow and Marsh, who are these kind of squishy blue and purple kiwis. And we have Drop Bears, because it's an Australian game, and Drop Bears are cool. And we also have little sheep that jump from sort of platform to platform when you move. We call them the Woolly Jumpers.
Yep.
And we also have a sort of koala that pops out of the ground, which we call the Dirty Underbear.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty sad.
It is pretty bad. We hope to make many more terrible puns as the game comes out.
So where are you guys located?
I'm in Sydney, so is Megan, and Matt is down here in Melbourne.
Cool. All right, cool. If people want to find out more about Mallow Drops, where would they go?
They would go to mallowdrops.com.
Yep.
Or gritfish.net is my personal website, and that just basically links to the mallowdrops.com.
Yep.
You can search for it on YouTube to find the trailer.
Okay.
And we'll be on Steam early next year.
Okay, cool. So that's for early release or for...
No, it'll just... We're not going through early access, but it will just be a release on Steam.
Awesome.
That you can pre-order, or there'll be a launch discount. But we're launching on Steam, then moving to iOS and Android for the tablet phone versions, and then we'll come back to Steam later in the year.
Yep.
And add the level editor that I'm currently using that just needs a lot of UI work to be user-friendly. And Steam Workshop integration.
Awesome. All right.
So you can make levels and share them online.
We'll look forward to hearing more about Mallow Drops next year.
Thank you very much.
Hey guys, I'm here with Chris from Toki Productions. How's it going, Chris?
Yeah, hi Ben, thank you. It's doing really great.
Yeah, third day of PAX, how's your voice feeling?
Yeah, my back is killing me. I've been standing all day for the 3 days, yeah.
Yeah, it seems that yesterday everyone was complaining about their voice. Today, I think the third person to mention their feet and back and just sore. Yeah. Infectinator. Infectinator, sorry. Yeah. Now, I played this before PAX.
Yeah.
Four character, single player, zombie, survival, wave base.
Yeah.
Am I on the right path here?
Okay, yeah, you are. So basically the game is a randomly generated squad-based survival simulation game. So that's a lot of a gameplay mechanics cramped into one. So basically you control up to four characters and then you can explore a randomly generated city, like a roguelike. And your goal is to survive as long as possible and also to find a way to escape the city. And along the way, you could find new survivors to rescue. You could encounter NPCs, bandits, and basically a lot of zombies. And you just have to survive and do the best you can.
Yep. How long have you been working on this for?
We've been working on this game for almost 3 years now.
Okay.
It started around November 2012 as a Flash game.
Yep.
And because a lot of people like the Flash game and they say it's really good, so we decided to expand on the game and make it a full, proper Steam game.
Yep.
And now the game is available on Steam Early Access.
Yep.
And we just also recently launched a Kickstarter to help us finish the game's development and to deliver the best game possible.
Nice. Now, what do you do on the project?
I'm actually the game's designer and the main programmer.
Mm-hmm.
So the team that work on this game, there's only five people.
Okay.
Two programmers and three artists. But the artists, they're on and off. They jump in and out. And one of our programmers also the game's composer, music composer.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, we do a lot of things at once. Yeah.
That's the joy of being indie. You have
No
one else will. So, so early access at the moment. So how much of the game's actually there?
So the game. You mean like how much is completed?
Yeah.
So far we've completed most of the gameplay mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
But we are still lacking on the content side. So we are trying to add more story, more variations of buildings, characters, enemies, and stuff like that.
Yep.
So that's the part that we are still working on.
So the game itself is still quite playable in its early access state.
Yeah.
You haven't released a game that's kind of broken.
It is available on Steam Early Access, and people can play it in the entirety of the game.
Yep.
But like the variations is there's only a little variations.
Of course. Yep.
cool. So when do we hope to have this actually finished?
Yeah, we're aiming for early 2016.
Okay, so still a bit to go.
Yeah, but yep. If we get funded on Kickstarter, we could probably finish that faster.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it's a really good-looking game. Like I said, I had a game play it before, and it's quite fun. So, where can people go to find out more about this game?
Yeah, you can go to infectinatorsurvivors.com.
Yep.
To find more about the game. And yeah, you can just search it on Kickstarter, Infectinator Survivors.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was it.
Cool.
Yay.
Hooray.
What's left?
What are you doing this week?
Fallout.
Fallout? That's Fallout. It?
I want to publish that Mario Maker level.
Good.
I really want to buy... I'll get paid next week. I really want to buy StarCraft 2.
You should get the code and read it down there.
So I will get the code and I'll like tweet it. We'll put on... like
okay, sweet.
Yeah, we'll spread it out across the Twitterverse. It's not a very challenging level. It's just got some
cheeky... It's just a big penis.
No.
Small penis.
Maybe like you can't actually get to it. It's just off on the side.
Ah, so you know it's like, there.
You have to go into the editor to find it. Yeah, so cheeky. I'll get the code. We'll
zoom out the whole time you're running along a penis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Secret. There the whole time.
It's there. It was in sight. No.
Ew.
I want to buy StarCraft Legacy of the Void because I heard that's crazy. And I like the Protoss the most.
It's got like that crazy two player mode thing.
Yeah, Archon mode, which is apparently kind of cool.
Guys, I haven't played StarCraft.
Okay, this has a mode where you can co-op two player against another two players, where you're both building the same base.
Yeah, two player one base.
That's awesome.
Or like I'm going to build this base and manage the economy. I'm going to build some units. You just go out with the units and you go micro some shit and kill the other guy.
Like I don't.
I'm going to keep building this base.
That's
up.
Awesome.
I've never really cared about StarCraft. That made me go, ooh, maybe I should get this. That sounds awesome.
That sounds pretty awesome.
I've never cared about StarCraft multiplayer. I've always cared about like the story. And apparently, from what I can tell...
I like StarCraft, but
Legacy of the Void is just like, hey, we slapped a fresh coat of paint on Brood War. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yes, son. And there's something satisfying about seeing, like, select the campaign and all three races are just open to you.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, they finally made StarCraft 2. It took them 3 goes and 5 years from like the release of the first one, but they made StarCraft 2. And I want to buy Anno 2205 as well and spend some time on that, but we'll see if we get there or not.
Cool.
That's what I'm up to.
Ash?
It's too many games. I want to pick up Rise of the Tomb Raider, but I don't think I have time to play that because there's too many other things I have to play. Maybe I'll pick up Rise of the Tomb Raider. I don't know. I hear good stuff.
I'm going to pick up Metal Gear still.
Wait, you haven't finished Metal Gear, or you haven't picked it up?
I haven't bought it yet.
Jesus.
Yeah, I haven't. I've just written it off.
I've been too busy, organizing live shows and other working beta bullshit.
I mean, that's a heavy hitter. That's a lot of hours you've got to put into that.
Well, none of that. The stuff that's changed since release on that makes me go, like, maybe I don't want to play that anymore. I don't know.
It's fine. It's fine. Metal Gear might be up there. I'm putting it out there. It might be up there.
Everyone's saying game of the year for them, Metal Gear is like...
Oh, no. Have you not heard... I've heard a lot of people say that since the recent updates with the online stuff, they're now reconsidering that might not... That
might but I want to play to see what this big hypes have been about. Anyway.
You should absolutely
play it. But
the thing
is, you've missed that hype now.
I don't care.
Okay.
No, you should absolutely play it because outside of the hype... That's a hell of a Metal Gear game to go out on.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play the other ones?
One.
You played one?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I'm like
that is the
80%
equal,
of the way through one.
That is the equal best one, along with 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, cool.
So that's the right,
well,
the right one to play.
I've always wanted to go through all... I own all of them.
Yeah.
And I
bought them all last year, played them all in about 4 months.
Yeah, I want to play them again. I want to play them all. But then Ash started playing it, so I was waiting for him to finish one so we can start two together.
Yeah, I've never finished one. I am going to do it, but there's just too many other games to play right now.
Yeah.
Stupid games. The one thing I noticed, the live show, we'd do 2 rounds of trivia, one from the 90s, one from the 2000s.
Hmm.
And looking at the 2000 list, I've got to look through about 80 games.
Sure.
Looking at the 90s list, I've got to look through about 12 games.
Really?
Because the list is tiny. You forget how few games came out back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to how many games came out
now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's not 12. It's more like 30 games.
Because sometimes it feels like you're in a real drought of games. There are certain times of the year where you're just like, there's fucking nothing out. I've
got so many games on the shelf behind you that I've not even opened yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I still really want to go back and play.
Yeah. Oh, and there'll be a Steam sale soon too.
Oh, that's yeah, right.
I don't even look at Steam sales anymore.
Yeah, that's when I'll get Anno.
I already own so much of it. I'm almost immune to them, but they always get me on something. Mm-hmm. Like the last couple of days is always like, oh, but I might need this.
Yeah. Oh, Kerbal. I haven't bought Kerbal yet. This seems like something I should own, which Kerbal. I now do. So that game came out in 2015, you guys. Kerbal came out this year.
I've got to play that. Hopefully, it'll be in the Christmas sales.
Yeah. I could share my library with you and play mine.
I've put about 4 hours into it, and it's fun. You need to put a lot more than 4 hours into it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
Fucking games.
Fucking video games, you guys.
D.
What?
What's doing this week?
What?
What's happening?
Oh,
where are you?
Sleep. Okay. I'm sleeping. I'll be playing the sleep game. I had a dream that I bought Splatoon. I think it's a sign that I should buy
Splatoon. Yeah, you've been really obsessed by this game. Do you know anything about this game?
I vaguely have some ideas.
Actually, Nintendo Direct, there was more Splatoon stuff that came out.
New expansion, yeah.
Maybe it is a sign that you should get Splatoon and report on it.
The helicopter is really loud.
They're looking for us.
Oh, no.
Got to shut this pirate radio shit down.
Move it off-sea to international waters. Yeah. So can't
touch us now.
Can't touch us.
I mean, it's going to be a hell of a commute.
Yeah. By rowboat.
Yeah.
Not to mention the piracy.
So I might just finish Fallout 3.
Okay.
And potentially start Fallout 4.
Yay!
And try and get all the cats.
Wait, all the cats in Fallout 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there were cats in Fallout. Is that a mod?
It should be.
What if I
guarantee you
did? You see the mod where they gave power armor to the dog?
Yes. That was good. All right. Hang on. Neko Atsumi 4. Fallout 4, where you go into the crafting menu and you can buy cat toys
and you put
for
them
your
out.
Settlement. You put them out
and you
go out
cats.
To the wasteland and you come back and there are cats in your settlement.
Oh my god!
If someone isn't already making that, I'm disappointed.
$1 million idea.
That's amazing.
Free for anyone who has
a lot of good ideas this episode. This is the
first paid app.
This
first,
is the
first paid
ideas
mod.
Card.
Yeah, I would I'd chip in for that.
And then we'll do some kind of AR. Bullshit
around it, yeah.
That you got to find a cat.
Find this cat.
Yeah.
Find my cat. It's photos of our cats on the internet.
It's got an amiibo on this collar.
It's got the new Wolf Link amiibo.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to go home now.
Thanks, you, Alex.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ash.
Thanks,
D.
Yay.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Remember, thanks, D again.
Thanks, D again.
Thanks, Ash.
She was in the booth.
I was. It's in the booth.
Just remember, this has been a working beta.